The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report for Wednesday, December 12, 2007. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. In agricultural news, debate over the farm bill began in earnest yesterday in the Senate. We'll have the latest. Also, the U.S. and Peru will formalize a new trade deal on Friday. I'll have details of these and other stories this half hour. And Todd Gleason will be by to preview the 60th Illinois Crop Protection Technology Conference. It's all on the Wednesday edition of your Closing Market Report.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Wednesday afternoon, prices settled like this in Kansas City. December wheat, $9.79, up 30. July, $8.54 3/4, up 20 3/4. December wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade, $9.34, up 40. March, $9.40 1/2, up 30. July, $8.28 1/2, up 22 1/2. December corn, $4.16 3/4, up 10 1/4. March, $4.33 1/4, up 9 1/4. May, $4.44 1/4, up 9 3/4. December, $4.49 1/4, up 7. January beans, $11.51 1/2, up 16. March, $11.70 3/4, up 16 1/4. May, $11.83 1/4, up 17 3/4. November, $10.64 1/4, up 7 3/4. December soybean meal, $3.19.50, up $4.50. December soybean oil, $46.25, up 67. December live cattle, $93.52 1/2, down 77 1/2. January feeders, $105.20, down 77 1/2. And December lean hogs, $55.17 1/2, down 2 1/2. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon, Dave.
A dynamic day at the Chicago Board of Trade. What sparked the big rally across the grain complex?
Well, early AM this morning, there were reports that the market was very disappointed with yesterday afternoon's news that the Fed cut the discount rate 0.25 points, and it basically underscored the lack of liquidity in the marketplace. And this morning, early, they announced they'd provide the big money center banks and money traders with large loans through auctions, providing they have the equity to reinforce their loans. And it was quite a innovative type of situation that the Federal Reserve indicated. It not only it provides liquidity to the problem people, but it does basically support the dollar and support some of the major problems in the market without creating too much liquidity into the general marketplace. So it was a balancing act and very innovative. The second thing is that crude oil was very strong. There was a oil refinery fire reported by Exxon at one of their Texas refineries. We also understand some of the fog, and there were some pipeline problems in possibly Norway and Canada that created some of the bullish enthusiasm. And crude oil at one time, I think, was up $4-$4.50 a barrel. At the present time, it's up $3.70 a barrel. And then the market just marched higher completely across the grain complex. Particularly the strength in the wheat market was very noted after the sell-off yesterday with wonderful rains in the wheat-growing areas of the West. And also the general feeling there might even be more wheat planted in the U.S. all added up to very strong gains today.
We had new contract highs in both new crop corn and soybeans. At the end of the day, the ratio there sits at 237. Is that going to buy the right ratio of acres?
Yeah. You know, we even talked about Farm Futures magazine coming out with their guess estimate of acreage, and I think it was something like 88 million acres of corn, 69.5 mm-hmm. on beans, and 62.2 on wheat. Generally speaking, another factor in the market today, we did see this bull spreading, fund buying, in other words, buying the front end, selling the deferred, and maybe there was even some spreading going on from the different commodity complexes. But to get back to the original question there, are we seeing major acreage shifts? Well, you know, there is this story yesterday where in the supply-demand report where there was 2 million more bushels of seed used, obviously, for raising wheat or planted wheat. And that equates to probably another million acres of wheat planted. One idea was that they used some satellite imagery to give us that kind of a market call. And, of course, this is probably the second time the marketplace has discovered either a yield change or acreage change by the government using satellite imagery, which is pretty high-tech, this day and age.
When I look at continuation charts in the corn, I see that we've now tagged a long-term uptrend line that is drawn through highs in 2000 and 2004, and now we're looking at potentially getting back to our third, fourth quarter highs of 2006. But if you draw some other lines, interestingly, on some of these charts, you could make a case for corn going to around 265. Is that out of the realm of possibility?
You mean 465?
465.
Okay. You said two, and I wanted to make sure.
Yes.
Okay. You know, Dave, a couple things from point A to point B. I think that's your point's well taken. There's a lot of what I call populist conversations in Congress with the Farm Bill and also with the Energy Bill. And at the same time, the general deal of, all presidential politicking going on. And there is this deal where it is quite encouraging to renewable resources and renewable energy. And I think that the combination of all this plus this runaway oil market and maybe a little whiff of inflation in the world is creating this excitement in the corn and soybean and wheat areas. The one factor that I think that it's also encouraging, I think that you're going to see acreage explosion in South America, that where you will see production agriculture not only in sugarcane, you're going to see it in soybeans and possibly in corn and wheat acreage down there as well.
Put on your speculator hat and take the role of the small speck for a moment. If you wanted to get long these markets, how would you go about doing it?
Yeah. One of the beautiful things that you probably could do is that if we do know that the winter wheat areas did get some wonderful rains in the west, and supposedly there's more acreage, you could do it with spreads at some point in time, inter-commodity spreads. If Argentina doesn't get rain, corn is probably the first commodity that would be bullish down there. So corn being long modestly in the futures market or using options are all the above keys to this. And energy is one of the big propellers of this market, and those are the three things that a person has to look for in this commodity trading complex.
Thank you much, Paul.
Have a nice day, and nice talking to you, Dave.
You too. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Paul joins us every Wednesday afternoon on the Closing Market Report and every Wednesday morning on the Opening Market Report. Taking a look at the two-state forecast tonight, cloudy with precipitation arriving. The precipitation should be a mix of rain and snow near I-70, with all rain to the south and snow to the north. Snowfall of 1 to 3 inches is possible from east-central Illinois into northern Indiana overnight, lows ranging from 15 to 40 degrees. Tomorrow in Illinois, mostly cloudy and Indiana cloudy, with some snow north and rain south during the morning. Additional snowfall is likely in northeastern Indiana, highs ranging from 28 in northern Illinois to 45 degrees in southeastern Indiana. In agricultural news, high-level talks between the U.S. and China near Beijing continued today. Two import safety agreements are being signed this week. One will regulate food and feeds, and a second one concerns drugs and medical devices. The two pacts were negotiated after safety scares in the U.S. involving pet food, toys, and tires imported from China. President George Bush will sign a free trade deal with Peru on Friday. The pact was approved by the Senate last week. Meanwhile, trade deals with Colombia and South Korea continue to sputter amid ongoing debate over the benefits of globalization. The Senate yesterday voted down a farm bill amendment that would have overhauled agricultural commodity programs. The Fresh Act, introduced by Indiana Senator Richard Lugar, would have reduced and shifted direct payments and replaced commodity programs with a county-based crop insurance program. The bill was defeated by a 58-37 vote. Before the vote, Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Tom Harkins said the amendment was doomed. In Harkins' words, the problem is that it just moves too far too fast. And North Dakota Democrat Kent Conrad says the amendment would have hurt producers when commodity prices were low.
With lower commodity prices, the provisions do not come close to providing the same amount of support as the programs in the 2002 Farm Bill. And should such a low-price scenario occur in the future, most of the farmers and ranchers would not be able to survive the erosion in farm income without some additional government support.
But a new renewable fuels standard appears to be on Farm Bill fast track. Majority Leader Harry Reid says he'll allow an amendment setting an RFS of 36 billion gallons by 2022. Reid says the amendment could be adopted on a voice vote, and Harkins says there is broad Senate support for the mandate. Republican senators have offered its maximum allowed quota of 20 amendments to the Farm Bill on a wide range of issues, some of which are likely to face strong Democrat opposition, including one that would strike the $5.1 billion agricultural disaster aid program and use the money for low-income energy assistance and budget deficit reduction. Still, senators are increasingly optimistic that a farm bill will emerge before the end of the year. Georgia Republican Saxby Chambliss says that would set the stage for conference committee.
We've already been talking with Congressman Peterson and Congressman Goodlatte on the House side. Our staffs will be working over the Christmas break to work out the differences between the House passed bill and the Senate bill. And by the time we get back towards the end of January, I'm hopeful that the number of disagreements will be down to a minimum.
In conference committee, there are likely to be some controversial farm bill issues. House Ag Committee Chair Colin Peterson has already signaled he'll want discussion over whatever payment limits might emerge in the Senate bill.
This is a program that supports production agriculture. This is not a program to transfer money from rich farmers to poor farmers or big farmers to little farmers. It's a program to put a safety net underneath production agriculture.
Once Congress actually passes the Farm Bill Conference report, Peterson says he believes a deal can be reached with President Bush to avoid a veto. In part, Peterson says, because a farm bill hurts Republicans far more than Democrats.
I think it's going to be very hard for Republican members to explain back in their districts why the president is vetoing a bill that they helped put together.
Chambliss says a farm bill could reach the president's desk by the end of January. Yesterday, Senate Democrats also decided to push ahead on an energy bill with billions of dollars in oil industry taxes, but abandoned a requirement for utilities to use wind and other renewable energy to produce electricity. Democrat leadership hopes the revised bill will garner enough votes to overcome a threatened GOP filibuster and signals of a White House veto. A U.S. meat packer has sent 125,000 pounds of beef to Russia, the first shipment of U.S. beef since Moscow closed its border to American beef 4 years ago. The shipment was made under an old agreement that restricts beef to animals less than 30 months of age. Prior to the ban, Russia was the fifth largest overseas market for U.S. beef. A new agreement is still under negotiation that would reflect World Organization for Animal Health compliance on the part of Russia. And the National Agricultural Statistics Service has a new director of its statistics division. Joe Persaki will replace Steve Wyatt, who retires January 3rd after 34 years of service. Persaki takes over his new post at the end of March. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
The 60th Illinois Crop Production Technology Conference will take place next month in the Illini Union on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana. Todd Gleason reports.
The University of Illinois 2008 Crop Protection Technology Conference is scheduled for Wednesday, January the 9th and Thursday, January 10th at the Illini Union on the U of I campus. This year's session marks the 60th anniversary of the conference, which aims to highlight important issues affecting both agriculture and the environment. The conference organizers, including Kevin Steffi, say it is a major milestone.
These started all the way back in 1949, originally called the Custom Spray Operators Training School, kind of a mouthful. It's gone through a couple of name changes, but we've always had the same objective, and that is to provide the most pertinent, updated, hot button items for educational purposes for people who work in agriculture, ranging from agricultural professionals in the industry to producers.
From the very start, when it was called the Illinois Custom Spray Operators Training School, the Spray School for short, every effort was made to have the conference address current and important crop and pest management issues, with emphasis on direct benefits for both agriculture and the environment. In a change from recent years, the 60th edition presentations will be made to all participants in one room for the duration of the two-day conference. It is a tradition that goes back to the very roots of the seminar.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of retro. We went back, well, this thing started with all presentations given in one room, and then we went through a period of years where we had concurrent sessions, but we had enough concurrent sessions that people in attendance couldn't get to all of them. And I guess a good complaint to have is that, gee, I wanted to go to all of them, but couldn't. So we're sort of going back to basics, and we've got all of our five symposia slated to be given in one room so that all attendees get to hear all presentations, or at least those they want to sit through.
The symposia are titled High Production Soybean Management, Managing Nutrients and Water Quality, Pest Resistance and Resistance Management, integrated pest management in the crosshairs, and high-production corn management. The organizers of the 2008 Illinois Crop Protection and Technology Conference hope each will address the most critical concerns, answer some of the toughest questions, and open the doors for continued discussion. Registration materials for the conference are online. Just search Google for Illinois Crop Protection Technology Conference. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Joining us now for our look at the cash grain market is Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Good afternoon, Kay.
Well, good afternoon to you, Dave.
Well, the obvious question is, what is December 2008 corn prices at $4.49 and a quarter, and November beans for harvest month at $10.64 and a quarter, doing to new crop sales?
Well, the farmers are just dancing all over the place, and believe it or not, new crop sales have been really very good. They just love these prices. Oh, there's a few guys still holding off, but basically we've got a much bigger book on for next year's crop than we normally do. And even if they don't book, the phones ring all the time wanting to know where the top's going to be. And, of course, this is all new territory, but, yeah, it's producing a lot of sales. And I talked to one big farmer over in Illinois, and he's got probably, I'm going to say he's at least 60% booked, 65% booked on his next year's crop. So a lot of new crop sales, Dave.
For your operation, how much further are you booked than in a normal, if there is anything like a normal year?
I'd say we're probably got maybe 30 to 40% more booked than we normally would at this time of year. We had a pretty good book on last year at this time, but nothing like we've done this year. And it's just producing smiles all over the place.
Export sales running way, way, way ahead, particularly in corn of last year. Are we running the risk that we're front-loading this market so much that we're going to pay a penalty further on down the road?
That could happen. You know, they've got, what, 2.45 billion bushel, you know, the biggest export sales we've ever had on the books. And it could happen if the dollar strengthens up again. And it could make a big difference. I'm just scared to death of this corn market. I really am. We'll just have to wait and see what happens. But, yeah, it could be front-loaded.
So what is your best estimate for, well, let's take a smaller snapshot, basis between now and, say, the January reports?
Basis levels have slipped probably a nickel. So far, they continue to get worse, and that will get worse. So I'd say we could see another 10 or 12 cents out of this basis before the January report. A lot of elevators are picking up piles, and really there's so much corn on rail that sometimes it's even hard to get a bid over Evansville. So it's going to be a little tough day for everybody to get rid of this stuff, and everybody's got a big book on for January.
And what about the beans?
Bean basis, it's been a little sloppy all along. I mean, it really never has responded like corn, so you probably won't see the drastic changes in basis in beans as you would in corn, I don't think.
What about your prices today, Kay?
All right, our cash corn is $4.14. I'll give you new crop. It's also $4.14. Cash beans, $11.11. New crop, $10.14. And new crop wheat today is $7.44.
Thanks much, Kay.
Thank you, Dave.
That's Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. In about 2 minutes, I'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Drew Lerner about the weather.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Theft, forgery, and official misconduct charges await the county clerk in Iroquois County. The state attorney general's office says a grand jury returned indictments last week, a week against Mark Hendricks. He's scheduled to appear in an Iroquois County courtroom January 10th to answer to the indictments on 2 counts of felony theft of government property, 2 counts of forgery, and 4 counts of official misconduct. Attorney General spokesman Scott Mulford says they can't go into the nature of the charges yet. A central Illinois man convicted and sentenced to life in prison for drowning his girlfriend's 3 young children is asking an appeals court to knock down the severity of his sentence. Maurice Legrone Jr. was scheduled for a hearing today in front of the state 4th District Appellate Court. His lawyers contend that jurors were given an unfair picture of Legrone as a bad man who must have contributed to the children's death. The lawyers are asking for a sentence to be dropped to involuntary manslaughter. A jury in McLean County convicted Legrone last year of three counts of first-degree murder in the 2003 deaths of three children of Amanda Hamm, who received a 10-year prison term last December. An alleged drug dealer's conviction has been overturned after a federal appeals court said that courtroom misbehavior torpedoed any chance of a fair trial. The man was a co-defendant of former death row inmate Aaron Patterson. The three-judge panel also held that alleged small-time gang member Mark Manny was denied a fair trial because some spectators who were watching the proceedings made gang signs and stared in a threatening way at the jurors. Jurors witnessed shouting, swearing, a violent courtroom brawl, and intimidation from the gallery during the trial. In a 12-page opinion, the judge said it made them prejudiced. Manny and Patterson were convicted 2 years ago of marijuana, heroin, and firearms charges. A decision to go it alone in a lawsuit against a major corporation has netted Illinois' State University's retirement system nearly $6 million. That money will go into the CSRS Trust Fund. Its director says a class-action lawsuit by many shareholders against Quest Communications would have resulted in only about $50,000 in damages for CSRS. Quest was sued 2 years ago for inflating its stock price through a series of accounting missteps. And a big change for Indiana drivers is expected in 2009. The Bureau of Motor Vehicles plans to implement 45 due dates for motor vehicle registrations over the course of a year. Indiana motorists now face one of 19 registration due dates in a year's time. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner, the Senior Agricultural Meteorologist of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon, Drew.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Looks like we're in for some snow this evening into tomorrow.
It does look like it might get a little sloppy out there, once again, across the Midwest. It's not that we haven't had any of that recently. It certainly looks like we're going to see some more of it, though. A lot of precipitation is still expected to come along. This next little disturbance, though, is a weaker one, and we don't expect it to produce nearly the quantity of moisture that the last couple have actually produced. But nevertheless, it's going to keep the ground saturated, keep that runoff going, raise those rivers and streams a little bit further, and continuing to push us towards perhaps an interesting late winter where we might be dealing with some flooding across a part of the region if we keep this up. La Niñas usually generate a lot of precipitation across the eastern part of the Midwest, and if we keep this trend going through the winter, we are going to get into a position where we're going to have some pretty significant flooding going on in the spring. That's not necessarily a forecast, it's just kind of something to keep an eye on. Right now, we are expecting yet another storm system after the one that comes across tonight and tomorrow. That storm system comes in Friday night into Saturday, and it will bring some more rain and snow across the Midwest. It might end up becoming a nor'easter and produce some very big snow accumulations in the northeastern part of the country. So if you're traveling over the next 3 or 4 days, it's going to be a little bit of a challenge at times. Right now, the snow event that's coming out across the plains, which will start really tomorrow night, will continue on Friday out there in hard red wheat country, should lay down some significant snow accumulations out there to add some further improvement in the moisture situation out that way. And then the storm will turn towards the Midwest, should come through Friday night into Saturday. We'll probably see snow accumulations in hard red wheat country in the northern part of the region running 1 to 3 inches, but there's going to be a band of 3 to 8 inch snows that will probably occur from portions of southern Kansas and Oklahoma right on through a portion of the Midwest, probably central and northern parts of Illinois into Michigan, and we'll probably actually see this thing maybe produce some greater amounts of snowfall a little bit further south. It's just a little bit soon right now for us to determine what the exact path of the storm will be, but it looks like it'll be favoring that corridor I just mentioned. Anyway, that storm system will be out of the way shortly thereafter. We will go into a period of 5 days of quiet weather without any other big storms in the region, but look out for the last week of the month. Looks like more storming is coming up.
Turn your attention to South America, Argentina in particular, which looks to me like kind of a mixed bag.
Yes, it is. We have some very good crop conditions in some of the eastern portions of Argentina, and even Buenos Aires, which was starting to get into a little bit of a moisture stress problem earlier this week, got some rain, and that changed the perspective there quite a bit. But we do have three provinces all in the far west that are very, very dry right now. Those provinces are Cordoba, which is a major grain and oilseed producing province, as well as La Pampa and portions of Santiago del Estero. These three all have very short top and subsoil moisture right now, and stress is pretty widespread. We expect some rain in Santiago over the next few days, actually Thursday night into Saturday. We'll pick up on some significant rainfall there, easing the dryness in that area. But the rest of the country will continue drying down now for a while. Whatever shower activity occurs in these other areas will be insignificant over the next 10 days, and we're going to see temperatures bounce around between normal and above normal, so that the odds are pretty good that the stress situation will be allowed to expand. We're going to be reproducing the early corn crop at the end of this month, going into early January, making the next few weeks very, very important for easing the dryness, or we will be losing some production potential.
Thanks much, Drew.
Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner, Senior Agricultural Meteorologist of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And that's today's Closing Market Report. Join us tomorrow morning at 8:49 Central Time for our first look at the markets. This is Dave Dickey.